How does your prep for the school year differ from some of those teachers who are walking into kindergarten or are going to teach choir? You have a very different set of circumstances.
Yeah, well, first off, we do projects. So because I do projects, I have to figure out how many kids I have, what do I need for supplies. I have to make sure the supplies then are there. I have to make sure the machines are up and running, sharpened if they need to be sharpened, or replacing pieces if that's what it takes. But bottom line, I am prepping an area rather than just opening the door. So right now, I just varnished benches. I painted the floor. I've got the floor to varnish yet. During the summer, I go out and jump in dumpsters and save some hardwood that's being thrown away in small quantities. I actually got thrown out of a dumpster.
Hold up. I can't let you continue until you tell me about being thrown out of a dumpster. You brought this on yourself. How does one get thrown out of a dumpster?
I know, it seems like it, right? Well, I was told about this place that does cabinet work. We've got the hardwood they're throwing out. Help yourself. So, because I'm a teacher, the only time I have free is weekends. So, on a Sunday, I drove up to the place, crawled into the dumpster. There was lots of hardwood in there, and I'm rummaging around, and this is the first time I was there, and somebody showed up that I think maybe one of the owners thought I was homeless. What are you doing in there? Well, I'm just looking for scrap wood that I'm going to bring in here. Well, then he went in and got me a couple sheets of plywood and stuck in my truck, which is very nice. I've been doing this for a number of years. Now it turns out they're worried. I think it's a reflection on my age. I'm not sure. It might be discrimination on my age. They're saying not. but it seems that they're concerned about me climbing in the dumpster and getting hurt. And I've been told, well, you don't work here. Our insurance will not cover you. So please don't go in the dumpster. I'm hoping that one of the people in there that works there will climb in the dumpster and throw the stuff out to me. I'm not sure they will, but I'm hopeful.
That way you don't break a hip in the process.
Well, they'll probably throw the stuff out and I'll get hit anyway, so. But, yeah, I've been thrown out of there twice now.
You just can't stay away.
Well, the wood is in there. You know, like doing our pizza peel, I need a piece about this long.
What's that, 3 feet?
A couple feet.
Okay.
And most of the pieces are shorter, which is okay. Well, the pieces that they are willing to give me, you know, come in the shop, you can look in there, are the shorter pieces. And I really need some of the longer pieces to complete this project. But, I mean, they're nice. I mean, they're not evil and kicking me off the ranch. It's just that they want me not to climb in the dumpster. I haven't fallen once.
Maybe they'll hear this and think, ah, oh, we'll let him do it. That's fine.
Well, the dumpster gets emptied. If I fall in there, what's the difference?
And when you say, I need these pieces of wood to complete this project, what you're really saying is, I need these pieces of wood to let these kids complete this project.
Yeah, this is a whole nother scenario. What's the problem with the schools? The schools need money. We have a lot of kids that are on the poverty. They get the free reduced lunches, etc. They're poor. How do we solve this problem? The politicians throw money at it. That's not solving anything. If I have to charge the kids for the wood, they won't take the class because they can't afford it. If I can supply them with free stuff and they can learn skills, maybe they can go out and get a job and now they're not poor anymore. They're working on their own. So I'm taking care of the problem a different way. Nobody cares but me.
What do you say to those people then who think, because what classes do you teach?
Woods, welding, and home maintenance.
So when people say, yeah, but aren't all the jobs in science and technology, and shouldn't we be teaching our kids to code? I mean, some of that answer is yes, but I assume
yes.
You have a but.
Of course. Well, that was an interesting thought. yes. You're always going to have, for all those technology people, when the internet goes down, they call up and have somebody come fix it. Somebody has to string the wire. Somebody still has to build the buildings. Somebody still has to fix the roads. And actually, you're finding now, if you look at society, a lot of the jobs that pay fairly well are overlooked because it's skill. They look at the people who are computer geeks and say, how wonderful this is. They look at the people that are doctors and lawyers. How wonderful this is. Look at all the money they can make. If you look at somebody that does, for example, underwater welding, do you know how lucrative that is? They get paid a base amount, plus they get paid so much a foot for every foot they go down in the water. And it's not just a flat rate. If you're down there 100 feet and you're down there 10 hours, you get paid 10 hours times the 100 feet times the... So they don't have to be a doctor or a lawyer, and they make a lot of money. Give me a computer geek that's going to go down there and do the welding. It's a different skill. And I think when it comes down to it, you're always going to find this is necessary. The other side is if you buy a house, everyone can't afford to hire people to come in and do all the stuff. You might be able to afford the material, but you still have to put it together. Again, it's a different skill. So, you know, am I keeping the economy running? Maybe. Am I providing jobs? Maybe. Am I giving you skilled people that will fit into those jobs? Maybe. After 42 years, I hope. I tell the kids that I only do this so that they get skills, so they can get jobs, so they can pay taxes, so I can retire.
That answers my, so why do you care? Why do you do this question? Because that way you can retire.
Not really. That's only a quip.
Do they get it? Do they laugh?
Oh, yeah. I'm politically incorrect, and the kids like that. Just why people are listening to Trump, because he's politically incorrect. Everybody wants to be, I don't know, embarrassed or yelled at or something.
You can provide some of that.
I hope that I provide the kids with the path without having to browbeat them to stay on the path. I've often said, I used to coach wrestling, and the guy that I coached with was an ex-Marine, if there is such a thing. They'll tell you that...
There's no such thing as a former Marine?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He is a type that would yell and say, follow me, and go through the hail of bullets. I am the other spectrum. I would be the one saying, okay, we have to get up here, we have to take this objective, they're looking for us here, we probably can be smarter and go around and come in the back, which to me seems to make a little more sense. Again, being green and very logical. It seems foolish to just charge up the hill. I'm not a hero, I guess.
How do students respond to that? And how do they respond to the different projects that you have them make? Because I'm seeing some different things around the room that seem like they could be useful. There's the base for a lamp over there. There's a box here. There's some little tile with grout work here. I mean, you're saying that you're providing them with skills, but they're also making real stuff.
Oh, sure. Well, for example, the box. In order to make that box, we have to use three machines. The table saw, the radial arm saw, and the planer. So therefore, before they can build that box, they have to complete the safety, the worksheets, watch the videos. They have to learn about those machines before I will let them touch them. Then, of course, the demonstrations. So I give them a project like this, which is fairly useful. And then I say, okay, you need to build this. Here's what you have to do. Here's your objective. Here's how we're going to do it. This year, I'm trying to change up what I'm doing by saying, okay, we have to do this. I'm not going to give you the plan of procedure. You're going to write the plan of procedure so that you know what's written down. I can write it. If you can't read it and figure out what I'm putting down, it makes no sense. So if we go through how we have to do this, you write it down in your language. Everybody has a copy, and you can read your own notes. If you've ever tried to look at somebody else's notes to study for a test, it doesn't work. So I pick out projects that will use different machines. So for example, you have the lamp there. That's actually a paper towel holder. In order to do that, you have to use the lathe. This, we had to use the bandsaw. The same with this. We had to use the bandsaw.
Is this a napkin holder?
Napkin
what is this?
Holder, yes.
Oh, look at that.
This is a trivet. We used to do the sheetrocking and then tile over it, then tear it all down, throw the whole works away. And the people that were in home maintenance weren't getting really anything to take home. So I came up with this tile trivet where it still teaches you the here's your layers, here's how they go together, here's how you put the tile to fit a space, here's how you grout it, here's how you seal the grout, and you can take that home and you can use it as a trivet to put hot things on. I can make, they have a little desk thing now that will hold your smartphone. Years ago, nobody would care about that. They'd want something with pencils, paper, that kind of thing. So each year I try to come up with something that I think will work for projects. Again, I'm looking at, here's the machines. Which machines will work for which projects? What do I have to do then to get them to that point?
How critical is it then for your students to walk out of here with not just a grade, but with tangible things?
Well, part of that, I think, has to do with the parents saying, well, what are you doing in there? Most of the stuff that goes home, the parents look at and go, ooh, ah, boy, you're really talented. We got somebody here. And I have people come in, parent, student, teacher thing. We just had the open house. They looked at the tile trivet and they're saying, can you come to my house and tile for me? Or when little Johnny is done with your class, I'm going to put him to work. We're going to do some tiling. So they see the value in it. But if I don't send something home with them, they have no idea what little Johnny is doing. Now, I do tell the kids that when they complete a project, mom's not going to put it on the refrigerator with a magnet like she does papers. The other thing is, every time you look at that, you're going to smile because you know how much work went into that and the satisfaction you get from having done that, something you didn't know you could do. I get a lot of kids that don't do well in the classroom. They're not a book person. They come in having real low opinion of their abilities. And something like this that I can teach them where they can go out, they can do this, and all those people with the books can't. Now they're special. And I think that helps them. I try not to put too much competition in because some people aren't competitive. And some people stress from competition. But I can tell you, competition works. You know? I don't like grades. Think about what a grade means. A grade is a reflection of how well you do compared to everyone else. So there should really only be one A. And if I give an A, I have to give an F. But what if I have high achievers? Maybe no one should have an F, and everyone should have A's. How do you reflect that? Since it's an activity, how do you reflect that in grades? And I have to give grades. The kids expect grades. What's my grade? When in fact, it should be more about, let's get this thing built. Is it functional? Does it work? you have something in your hands. Does it matter if it's an A or B? Yeah, I want quality work, but does it really matter? Don't know.